Everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another Drunk and Dangerous. If you remember, last time we were positively writhing with happiness, with the joy we got. And by joy, I mean, you know, it was frustration. Why do they always have to write? Like, there's some, you know, Victorian poet or something mixed with bologna, which that just upset me. I have bologna-based PTSD from Moon People. But today, hopefully, we're taking our shot with the Scarlet Envelope in one of the mid-ist rated creepypastas with a 5.19 out of 10. The Scarlet Envelope makes me think of the Scarlet Letter. Was the envelope a whore? And you're like, no, it was marked with a scarlet letter, not like the letter wasn't the whore. And I say, shut up. The Scarlet Envelope. George never got sick. Well, almost never. He was well into his 30s and had been working an office job for almost 7 years now. It was a standard 8-to-5 job, and he found comfort in the monotony of it. This particular Tuesday, however, George woke up from stomach pains and a massive headache. He's tired of working. He got out of bed, and as soon as he stood up, a wave of nausea washed over him, and he rushed to the bathroom, violently vomiting. Poor son of a bitch. There was no doubt about it. The man who almost never got sick was definitely going to have to call into work and let them know he wasn't going to make it. He did just that and flopped back onto his bed. He's like fired. George was a lonely man, and he had the apartment all to himself. Not that he was using anything but the bed at the moment. He closed his eyes and sleep for what seemed like days, but it actually only been for several hours. I'm jealous. He can sleep for a couple hours and feel like it's days. Incredibly jealous, I wish. He woke up feeling refreshed, and thankfully his nausea and headache were gone. Oh yeah, that's the excuse you're going to give the boss when he catches you outside having fun. There was a feeling of dread, depression, and hopelessness, and he shook his head, thinking it was just his sick state, but the feelings didn't disappear. He slowly got out of bed, no nausea attacking him this time. The despair increased as he got closer to the bathroom to relieve the pressure on his bladder, the despair of pissing. He couldn't shake off the feeling that something was terrible wrong, but hopefully he could shake off his dick. Something was out of place. He quickly finished his business and turned to head back to his bed, hoping that he just needed some more rest. That's when he saw her. An old woman with tattered clothes, gray wisps of hair in patches, a cloak of some dead animal draped around her shoulders, and long, slender fingers walked ever so slowly up the sidewalk of the cul-de-sac his small house was in. He shivered involuntarily. The woman was very out of place in the upscale neighborhood. Oh, wow, you classist. You classist jerk. I was thinking more like she seemed, maybe she had like dementia or something. Why are you wearing a dead animal on your shoulders? But instead he's like, oh, she looks like a poor. Like, fuck you, man. Maybe I am. So what? Stop judging me for the rat on my shoulders, okay? It's fashionable in France. If you're from France, do not dare argue with me. We all know it's true. And there was something unnerving about her. She doesn't smell like money. He watched as the woman passed by his house and stopped in front of the house right next to his. She walked over to his neighbor's mailbox and reached inside her cloak. Oh, it's blackmail? Dude was banging the grandma. A red envelope was produced and she placed it inside the mailbox. She wants that money. Suddenly, she turned her head and looked right at him. George jerked back and leaned against the wall out of sight. He counted to five and then leaned to take a peek out of the window. The woman was gone. Now, at this moment, George was thinking that he was more sick than he had previously thought. He quickly rushed back to bed and fell asleep, not even realizing that the feeling of dread was gone. The next day, George was feeling much better and had completely forgotten about the old woman from yesterday. He went to work like he always did, and when the day was done, he headed home. As he pulled into the cul-de-sac, he could see that something was going on. There were quite a few police cars surrounding the house next to his, and he slowly pulled into his driveway, wondering what was going on. He was met by a police officer at his front door.
"Sir, I need to ask you a few questions about the Chavez family."
Probably Chavez, but whatever.
"Oh, yes, of course."
George furrowed his brow. Something had happened. He wondered if they were okay.
"Sir, can you tell me how many members the Chavez family have?"
"Mother, father, and two boys, so that makes four total." "I can count, sir." "How dare you?"
"Thank you. And what were you doing around 12 p.m. today?"
"I was at work."
"Do you have any way to validate that?"
George gave the officer his boss's number, and after a few minutes of talking on the phone, he thanked George for his time and turned to go. "Wait, what happened? Are they okay?"
"Sir, the Chavez family was murdered today."
George's mouth gaped open in shock. Murdered? That was crazy. His neighborhood had always been a pleasant, out-of-the-way one where nothing happened. Oh, but then that dirty, gross, lower-class bum came in. As he was laying in bed, about to go to sleep, he suddenly remembered the old woman in the red envelope. He shook his head. There was no way there was any kind of connection to the murder. He didn't sleep well that night. I feel like you should at least maybe tell the police that you saw that, like, the day before he was murdered, because it was out of place. Like, I feel like that's fucking significant, and in real life, that's why murders don't get solved, because people are like, who cares about the totally random, weird-looking woman that approached his house and put some conspicuous envelope into his mailbox the day before he was murdered? That has nothing to do with it. I might as well not even talk about it ever again. It's not even relevant, really. I mean, she did, you know, make the whole cutting throat gesture and pointed at the house, but people do that all the time to me, so. The next day, he went to work like normal and tried to forget about the old woman and the murder of his next-door neighbors. Fucking asshole, help them solve the case. He got home, and as per his usual habit, he went right away to his mailbox to get his mail. He lowered the cover and almost fell down in surprise. There was only one thing in his mailbox, and it was a small red envelope. It had no return address and no stamp. It was just addressed to him in scratchy red ink. He grabbed it and rushed into the house. He was going to burn the envelope. He opened the cupboard where he kept his matches, but they weren't there. He cursed at himself and rummaged through his drawers and cupboards, desperately trying to find matches or a lighter hiding somewhere. He felt it again. I mean, why? Okay. Why wouldn't you just call the police and then tell them and be like, hey, you need to go look at this because I'm afraid to touch it because what if it's got, like, you know, poison or some shit? Ricin or whatever, you know? Like, oh, you inhaled it, now you're fucking dead. Like, I wouldn't just burn it. That's terrible. But I would call the cops and be like, hey, suspicious shit.
But whatever. You know, creepypasta, he's going to do the dumbest thing. Burn it? You don't even know what's in it. What if it is a toxin and you burn it and now it's, like, inhalable? Just sounds fucking terrible. He opened the cupboard where he kept his matches, but they weren't there. He cursed at himself and rummaged through the drawers and cupboards desperately, trying to find matches or a lighter hiding somewhere. He felt it again, that feeling of absolute despair. It weighed down on him, and he clutched the counter for support. Footsteps sounded on the floor behind him. He hadn't heard the door open. He turned around quickly and saw the same old woman from before standing before him. As soon as his eyes fell on her, the feeling of despair increased tenfold, and he slowly slid to the floor. He couldn't even stand. It was like the energy was being sucked out of him. He watched as the woman stepped closer and closer to him, her footsteps unnaturally loud. The last thing he remembered was a grin on the woman's face and the red envelope still clutched tightly in his hand. What's the point of even giving him the envelope? You're just going to show up and hand deliver it. Or show up and be like, "But surprise, you didn't open it." I don't understand why the envelope is necessary. What's even inside of it? Does it matter? If you're gonna show up anyway, just bring the envelope then. Don't waste my time. But again, I reiterate, should have called the cops. I don't know, man. It's, Who am I to say, though? I would have died as well, I'm sure. We will continue on with The Eye of the Storm, 5.19 out of 10. The Eye of the Storm. Howard Krugler, a famous actor, sat in his car. Their actors are just like us. The chrome vehicle rested upon the right shoulder of the highway. It was a fancy car, one of the new 2014 models. Ooh. Well, and my car's even fancier. It's one of those slick 2016 models. Shiny exterior, leather interior, describing my ideal person. All Howard felt toward the vehicle at this moment was anger. Generally, road rage is a different kind, but for him, it's for the vehicle itself. The damned thing had shorted out. How was he supposed to have known that a storm was rolling in? Well, it's called the weather report. It's like everywhere. Weather.com. How was it his fault that his car, his horrid death trap of a car? I thought you said it was nice. It was fancy. And it's a death trap? A horrid death trap? Doesn't feel fancy. Had skidded through a massive puddle. Well, did you maintain the car? Were there treads on your tire? He punched the dashboard. Very mature. Adding yet another dent into the already impressive array of damage. I'm glad to see he's handling it well. Fury had always been his initial reaction to anything that upset him. I hope he is single for fucking ever. In nearly every situation, it was his go-to method of coping. That's how you end up in jail. Emotional maturity. It's how you become an adult. Theoretically. I don't know. It's hard to do. Let's just go by age. Normally people were there to calm him down. Aw, he's the main character. Make him feel important and put him back into his place of fame and popularity. Please kill him quickly. It was not so on this night. It took a great deal of effort for Howard to calm himself
down when he finally managed to quell his anger. Nearly an hour had passed. The storm raged on. He was stranded on some highway in the middle of nowhere. Dark woods loomed over both sides. The only reason Howard has even chose to take this road was to save some time. He had already been an hour late for an interview. By now, the interview would have to be canceled. You don't have a cell phone? You can't fucking tell them, hey, I was in a fucking accident? He didn't care much. He could always get on another interview once somebody got him out of the mess he was in. Surely, he thought, somebody would be looking for him by now. The hours passed slowly. Howard glanced nervously at his watch. To his dismay, it read 1:43 a.m. Nearly 6 hours had gone by. There was still no sign of any help coming, and, to make matters worse, the storm had only intensified. I like to think he starts, like, punching the sky, like punching the rain, because he's so mad. Feeling hungry and somewhat frightened, Howard decided he needed to have a plan of action. He forced the door of his car open and stepped out into the storm. He doubled over almost instantly as the full force of the rain and wind struck him. His car door had long since slammed shut. Instantly regretting his decision to leave, he attempted to get back in, but the door wouldn't open. Lightning flashed, illuminating the interior of the car long enough for him to tell he had been locked out. That was fast. He cursed loudly, but the sound was lost in the roar of the storm. There was a crash and a great boom of thunder. He noted the treetops to his right swaying precariously. Dimly, he reasoned that a tree must have fallen over. He turned back to his car, struggling to get back inside. The crashes and booms of thunder started again. They seemed to be getting more frequent. Now, thoroughly soaked and demoralized, Howard glanced up at the tree line. Lightning lit it up for a brief moment. He let out a gasp. The tree line was gone. The trees had given out and toppled over backward into the woods. In their place were two immense feet, blacker than the night. Attached to those feet were two similar legs. So we have two giant pitch black feet and then two legs. Is it made of like symbiote, like Venom? That's kind of what I'm imagining. Let's see. Overcome with terror, he fell and crawled underneath his car. The ground was cold, but he barely felt it. Several minutes went by. During this time, the fear had begun to ebb away and clear thoughts came through. He knew he had to get help, for none was coming. He wasn't about to freeze to death under his damned car. His wife and daughter would frown at that. I mean, I'd be more concerned about the giant feet and then legs coming from the feet thing that's there. Summoning his remaining courage, Howard Krugler crawled out from under his car and stood tall. The wind whipped around him in a frenzy and the rain pounded him like stones. Yet Howard stood. Oh, a round of applause. His blonde hair, once perfect, now rugged and soaked, whipped sideways. He looked behind him on the highway and saw nothing but darkness. He looked ahead and saw the same thing. Then he began to walk. It was a confident stride. The stride of someone who knows something terrible is going to happen and accepts it. There was a loud groan and he looked up. The sky was darker along a certain area. The blackness forming what appeared to be the shape of a giant man. The lightning started up with the new fury, casting an eerie glare about the area. The figure of the giant man was kneeling down on the road, its supposed head... supposed, huh? Even with Howard. Howard continued to walk, heading directly towards the man now, convinced of its reality. The noise from the storm was slowly fading. The rain stopped, the wind halted, and the thunder no longer rumbled. Silent bolts of lightning crashed into the woods on either side of the road, casting a very dull light upon the surrounding area. I feel like that'd be really fucking bright flash of light, actually, if you've ever seen, like, a strike. It's actually incredibly blinding initially. But now some kind of dull lightning, you know, mid-watt lightning. Upon the dark head, a great luminous slit appeared and opened like a giant eye. Can you fuck it? Howard stared into it. Inside, pictures flashed. His first time he met his wife, their honeymoon, their daughter being born. A lone picture of Howard in a tuxedo, the only person at attending the funeral. Two coffins, one small, one normal-sized. His beautiful wife and 4-year-old daughter stood side by side. Howard remembered this picture specifically, for he had not been present. His job had demanded his full attention, and he had been far too late. This picture reflected in the giant eye for a few moments, then it began to change. Howard's family appeared to be gesturing for him to walk forward. They had knowing smiles on their faces. Howard took a single step forward when he realized something was terribly off. Well, yeah, they're calling to you from an eye in some giant, like, inky shadow creature thing with giant feet and legs from their feet, which still feels like a weird fetish thing to me. I don't know. That's clearly not your actual family, man. And if it is, maybe don't go anyway. Their faces were melting. The horrible knowing smile still plastered across them. The bones and muscles showed underneath. The melting faces began to anger and point accusingly at him. His courage broken, Howard screamed. Ah! The storm resumed with a new and intense resolve. It slowed Howard down as he ran for his car. He slipped and reached out, hoping to stop his fall. His hand hit the His hand hit something hard, and he gripped down. The car. Somehow he had made it. His hand still clamping onto the roof as if his life depended on it, he glanced back up the road. The giant man was moving, walking towards him. Howard gave a strangled yell as he felt something close around his waist. It had grabbed him. His feet left the ground and he let loose another scream of terror, his hands gripping the vehicle tightly. The eye opened again, but this time there was nothing friendly in it. Actually, it said there were nothing friendly in it. It was a light blue color and flickered off and on with the lightning. It was narrow, as if angered. Howard noted all of this with something like horror. The massive hand squeezed hard. Everything went black. The end. Damn. Squeezed hard to death. Sounds terrible. The worst way to die. Let's continue on. I know, you're like, how can we? With the quality we've seen, more, even more. Even more, my friends. Let's continue on with Mr. Entropy. 5.19 out of 10. Where do I start? Well, I was heading home after looking through some old Nintendo games at a yard sale. When... No, don't leave. It's not that kind of pasta, I swear. Oh, no. Okay. Anyhow, I was going through downtown to catch the bus I needed when I saw a sign on an abandoned building. Not like the warning sign or anything. Like a hobo sign. Not a hobo sign. Oh no. Hobo. I thought no one used hobo signs since the Great Depression. Are you talking about like a cardboard sign? Are you that sheltered you haven't seen a homeless person with a cardboard sign before? What the fuck is a hobo sign? I'm really confused. I thought no one used hobo signs since the Depression, so my interest peaked pretty quick. If some tweaker was gonna harvest my organs, might as well do it when I should have known better than to walk into what is no doubt a den of theirs. So, you're gonna walk in because, well, a tweaker will harvest my organs anyway at some point. They might as well do it as I willingly walk into their organ harvesting ring. I really don't see your logic there. I think, and this is maybe me coming from a place of privilege, I feel like most of the time there's a pretty big chance tweakers aren't going to steal your organs just on a day-to-day basis. And I feel like this guy's seeking it out. I feel like it's a choice you make, you know? But he's walking into a den, so who knows? So I walked into the building, which no one bothered to lock up, and these signs were leading me down to the basement. If my organs were harvested back then, I would have totally had it coming. The organ harvesting thing is a little phobia of mine, just so you know. I don't believe you, because if it was, you wouldn't fucking go down to the basement where the signs say, organ harvesting here, gonna take your organs, follow these arrows. He's like, oh my God, I'm so afraid, but I'm totally going by myself. Hee hee, phobia. No, you don't. You do not have a phobia, you lying little shit. Fucking asshole. I'm afraid of everything. Back to the point, that's what he says. I went down to the basement ready to throw down with the tweaker, and I saw a different sign next to a door. This time it was a warning sign, and it was in Russian. I live in Portland, Oregon, not Russia. If Russian warning signs outside of the country of Russia has ever been a good thing for anything, you are insane. You didn't say if I think that, just if it is, if this is true, then I'm crazy. Just that's how it works. My organ harvest-o-meter was off the charts at the time. But I opened the door anyway. One half of the room was just fine. The other half ceased to exist. It was replaced with a big-ass crater. The tour guides never talked about the crater in the basement of the abandoned building in downtown, so I guess it wasn't supposed to be here. Thing is, the building I was just in was rubble. The skies were gray and the whole back of things were rubble. I looked back to the door and it had collapsed. I'm sure you would have curled up into a fetal position and died, but not me. Wow. Thanks a fucking lot. Yeah, I'm sure you're such a little pussy. You would have pissed your pants and shat yourself and then committed suicide out of fear, but not me. I'm not a loser like you. I should have, but back to that in a minute. I climbed out of the crater and saw the whole rest of the city was beat up. Holy fuck, this is so in... And all Baghdad-like. This was from 2012. My fucking God. Right as I stumbled out, I bumped into a tank and right at face level was a Chinese flag. But it's all Baghdad-like. It can't get all China-like, too. I'm confused. The tank was wrecked, but still... I guess years of gaming managed to jade me. Now a gamer, I'm shocked. when it comes to running into post-apocalyptic wastelands and places there should never be those things, so at least there was that. Oh no, gaming not teach him English so good. But there was that. A resource war. That wasn't me talking. I nearly jumped out of my skin when I heard that. It was an educated, yet dark voice. I looked around, frantically trying to find the source of the voice, but to no avail. Oh, is it supposed to be a Russian guy? No, I'm gonna say it totally normal because fuck you. Fush you? Fuck you. Speak. On top of tank. I looked up to see a man in a gas mask looking down at me. He was wearing a fancy black suit with a blood red tie. Oh no, a fedora. And surgical gloves. No! I thought we got past this. The lenses of his mask were reflective, so I couldn't see any glowing eyes or maddening abyss or any of those cliches. Now turn around. I'm not going to kill you. I can tell you now that I have zero survival instinct outside of Fallout New Vegas. I turned around, and there he fucking was. If I had learned anything from reading creepypastas, yeah, that's why I read them, Mom. For the knowledge. It is that anything that can do that should not be trusted. I had failed to apply that logic at the time. You now see how your world is shaped from individual perspective. I believe a slight reality check is in order. The world you know and everything within it is in fact not real. Oh my God, are you Neo? I didn't move. I didn't question whether he had seen the Matrix. Yeah, I know you have. I just stood with my back against the tank, listening to his every word. You, with your memories and your ambitions, are simply a few billion lines of code. Really, you're so... The universe itself, a few Google of lines. You were the creation of a race that had ascended to godlike capabilities. They saw the creation of your universe to be the logical progression. For all they knew, they themselves were created by a higher race, and they were created as well, with no beginning in sight. I am here to break the cycle. My name is Mr. Entropy. I shouldn't have been put at ease a little from his speech, but his voice was a little soothing. So his outfit. Okay, I'm so sad Halloween passed, because if anyone goes as Mr. Entropy for Halloween, like, next year, you will have my forever love and adoration. It's a black suit with a red tie, a fedora, surgical gloves, like, shiny, whatever the fuck on his face. I'll have to go back. I'm not going back. My goal is to prevent a technological singularity from occurring for long enough that the stars fall apart and life is impossible. You see before you the fruits of my labor, but this future is not certain. You will help me make it certain. I am giving you two options, a blue pill and a red pill, if you will. I knew he must have seen the Matrix. One. You work with me to bring forth World War III, and you will merely die. Or two, you decline or betray me at any time, and you will see death in a much more favorable way. The choice is yours. You can see why I would have rather just died. Well, he said he'd see it in a more favorable way. That kind of makes it sound like it'll be better to defy him. I don't know why. It was practically no choice. Before I could speak, I blacked out and woke up sometime later on the floor of the basement, pre-apocalypse. A man was leaning over me. About time you woke up. Do your stuff right and we won't cut your thumbs off before we ship you off to Mr. Entropy. Got it? I can't believe I lasted this long. By every account, I should be thumbless and going through God knows what. It's been a year and I managed to sabotage everything. The gang is no doubt on to me. Chances are that my time is numbered. If you see this, you know now what is out there, bringing forth our doom. It's Mr. Entropy, God forbid. Believe me when I say he must be stopped. I have the gun in my mouth. All I need to do is pull the trig. And then it ended. So he killed himself and will kill the end of this one with one more story. So cold. So cold. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Bartholomew Jackson. Michael Jackson's long-lost son. And I desperately need to get this story out by any means necessary. Your belief on the matter that follows is not required, but I would indeed appreciate it if you were to bear with me. I'm afraid I must inform you that your convictions on the paranormal may be challenged throughout my tale, but I assure you that all of it is quite true. I was born on the southeast side of the Appalachian Mountains in eastern Kentucky, you wouldn't know by his voice, in a mining town that has long been abandoned since then. On the exact hour of my birth, a large portion of the coal mine on the outskirt of town collapsed. 57 men died that day, including my grandfather and two of my great uncles. The reason for the collapse was undetermined and declared an act of God by the local church. And as unimportant as this anecdote may seem, keep these facts in mind as we continue. Once I was released into my mother's care, our family packed up and headed to a cabin on the opposite side of the mountain range that was inherited from our family patriarch's untimely demise. A few uneventful days passed at our new home until the night of December 21st. It was an especially cold night. Snow was falling in legion outside and had all but blocked the road into the nearest town. My mother was cradling me in the crook of her arm while she slept, as per usual, and woke to the sound of tapping. Attempting to rise and glance at the window, my mother found that she could move nothing more than her eyes. As I'm sure you can imagine, this fact alone was terrifying. The tapping continued until her gaze found the source on an adjoining doorway that led into the living area. Was a set of fingers darker than the night around them, gracefully tapping alongside the wooden frame. Frozen in place, my mother flinched as the fingers slammed into the frame with enough force to cause the wood to creak and groan. I'd be pissed. Stop wrecking my furniture. Time slowed to a halt as a tall, lanky figure, was it Slender Man? Stepped into her bedroom. Its body was entirely... Black does not do it justice. The entity's form seemed to be the antithesis to light itself, except for the eyes. Sounds like a shadowman. Luminescent, glowing pools of amber regarded her dismissively and focused upon my tiny form. My mother fought against whatever force was paralyzing her with all her might at this point. But to no avail. It shimmered out of focus and reappeared, standing silently next to my mother and I. Hours. Minutes. Seconds. My mother cannot recall how long the entity stared upon my sleeping form. Suddenly, the creature moved with incredible speed, grabbing her arm. My mother shook involuntarily at this recollection when she told me, "So cold! So cold!" she said. And almost gently placed it on her chest, staring into her eyes. It waved an arm in the space above me, and the moonlight that had been streaming in through the windows was blotted out. At this point, my mother blacked out and did not wake until the next morning. Finding herself able to move, she threw back the covers and checked to see if I was still among the living and without harm. I received a single scar from that night in the shape of a 5-pointed star. Are you Harry Potter? It has been 25 years to the day since that terrible night. Over the course of my entire life, I've been experiencing harrowing nightmares and hearing murmuring voices when I'm alone. The nightmares, and I'm starting to have holes in my memory. Whatever this is, I think I'm running out of time. Anyone with knowledge on pagan or satanic rituals, please contact me at bartjackson@ohmywhathaveweacryforhelpthereisnohelpforthisvesselweareLegion. The end. That was amazing. We too are Legion. Thank you so much for joining me once again for another Drunk and Dangerous. Hopefully you'll be back next time so we can read some more, I don't know what to call these, scary tips fedora at Mr. Entropy. We'll find out what happens again next time. And until then, stay safe from Mr. Entropy. Bye, guys.